Welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com. I'm Rob Cressy, and I'm super excited to be jamming with you. And joining me to talk about some NFL Week 1, yes, football action, is Frank Schwab, sports betting senior writer from Yahoo Sports. You can follow him on Twitter at Yahoo Schwab. Frank, great to have you back on the show.
I love it, Robin. I love talking about Week 1 NFL already. It's really getting close. Like it's going to be here before you know it. We're going to be getting these best shape of his life training camp stories pretty soon, and then the preseason comes, and then we'll have real football. And I can't wait, because one man can only bet so much baseball. I'll tell you that. So Week 1 NFL, love it. Love it.
And why are we doing this episode? Because right now we're in sort of a lull period in the world of sports and sports betting. Yeah, we've got Wimbledon going on, but that is so fluid. We're not going to jam about that. We've already talked baseball. That's also very fluid. The British Open, or the Open, is next week, so we'll be getting to that. And then we've got sort of a period until football comes. And I know from my own consumption, I'm looking forward to listening to anything that talks about football. So why not get into what we noticed from Week 1 now? So that we can start building our mindset so that we're more informed bettors when it's time for us to bet. So, Frank, the big narrative of NFL Week 1, home underdogs. There is 10 of them right now. And if somebody only bet home underdogs in Week 1, I'm all on board with that strategy. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I was just going to ask you, let's say I set an over-under of 6.5 home underdogs covering Week 1. Would you go over or under?
I would go over, and here's why. Mm-hmm. Let's look back to Week 1 last year. What happened? The Raiders beat the Ravens, and the Raiders were supposed to be a nothing. The Cardinals smoked the Titans by 25. The Bengals, no one had any expectations for them, beat the highly touted Vikings in overtime. Remember, everyone's like, oh my God, what happened here? The Eagles destroyed the Falcons. The Steelers beat the Bills. And the Saints beat the Packers by 35. So those are six games right there. When we opened up the season, you looked at them and you're like, what in the world is going on? So if we see that there's 10 home dogs, what in the world is going on is a great recipe for me. What would you answer to your question?
Yeah, I'd say over too. I mean, maybe we'll get six, but I can't imagine you're going to lose money betting home underdogs. And it stinks, because there's some teams that I really like that are home favorites. I just can't get behind. Philly's one of them. But I can't do it. I can't sit here and tell you I'm going to bet Philly on the road Week 1. And by the way, my favorite example of weird Week 1 stuff happening is about 2014, I think it was, Minnesota Vikings start at Monday night at San Francisco 49ers, Monday Night Football doubleheader. It's a Carlos Hyde game. He goes crazy. I was all about the Vikings in that game. They got smashed in that game. It was like 20-3 or something like that. And I'm like, maybe the Vikings aren't any good. Maybe San Francisco's good. And then no, San Francisco ends up being terrible that year. I think it was the Tom Sula year. The Vikings go on to the playoffs with Teddy Bridgewater. It just shows Week 1, there is always a handful of games, like you were talking about before, the Saints winning 38-3 against the Packers. Always a handful of games that we'll look back in 2 months and say, that has nothing to do with anything in reality anymore. It's just one of those fluky Week 1 things.
Yeah, and you think about all the times in which the Jaguars beat the Colts, which is the narrative that we saw play out in Week 18, but I think it was 2 years ago in which the Jags beat the Colts, or maybe it was the Texans, one of those two bottom feeders, where you're like, what in the world is going on here? Because this is where we put on our survivor pool brain, where you say, all right, I'm not taking the number one most favorited team because everybody else goes out if that happens. So we're already starting to project that. So let's get a little bit more specific and look at some of the games that stick out to us. And the first one that stands out to me is actually a home dog, but I'm not sure if I would want to be on them. The Ravens laying 5.5 on the road, taking on the Jets. This number, Frank, when you and I spoke at the end of May, was Ravens -4.5. Now that number is up to -5.5. And for me, the key is the Ravens are healthy. And this is something, well, air quotes right now coming in the beginning of July, but this is one of the things they struggled with as a team last year, is their overall health, and especially on the defensive side of things. The Jets last year only averaged 16 points per game in Zach Wilson's 13 starts last year. So what are your thoughts on this? Because everybody loves to crown the Ravens, but I'm not sure if I'm ready to jump on the Jets hype train just yet.
Yeah, and I do like the Jets. I already punched a ticket on over 5.5 wins. I think they're going to be better, but maybe not week one. Relying on a lot of young guys, especially this rookie class, it might take them a little bit of time. And I do love the Ravens. The Ravens are probably, them and the Eagles are my two teams going into the season where I'm just flag planting, getting a lot of futures on both of them. So I love the Ravens, but again, this is one of those, I don't know that you could just pick and choose. I don't know that we could sit here and say, wow, road favorites are such a terrible bet in week one. But except for the Ravens. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if I want to blanket this thing and just take all home underdogs. I don't know. I think this is one of those. Look, we're talking here early July about these games. This is one of those games where August might change my mind. If Zach Wilson comes out, looks a lot better in the preseason, these rookies really playing a lot for the Jets, the Garrett Wilsons and all that, I might be tempted to be a little bit more confident with the Jets. Right now, it's a tough one. It's probably stay away for me because I like the Ravens a lot, but I also like the Jets, and 5.5 at home is a pretty significant number. So it's probably at this moment a layoff for me. But yeah, if it's one of those, I might end up on the Jets just for the blanket. Hey, I'm taking every single home underdog I can.
One thing that I really like to do, and especially in week one, is go back to my fundamentals. So often on this podcast, we talk about the mindset for creating our process for how we create our profitable bets or the winning side. So we want to know why we're doing this. So when we've got home dogs, another thing that I'll look at is division matchups. You're like, wow, I would love to be on a home dog in a division matchup getting more than 3 points or more than a key number. And there's two games that stand out for this. We've got the Falcons getting 4.5 at home, taking on the Saints. We got the Texans getting 8 at home, taking on the Colts. And let's start with that Falcons-Saints matchup. And it feels pretty gross to be like, let's go Falcons. But in the grand scheme of things, they lose Matt Ryan. It looks like Marcus Mariota is going to be the quarterback there. So what is the downside of Mariota? Among other things, it is his health. In week one, he is hopefully going to be healthy as it is right now. And I'm not exactly in love with all things Saints right out of the gate. So my gut would say I wouldn't mind being on the Falcons getting more than a field goal at home in a division matchup.
Yeah, this is one of the few games I actually jumped on right away because I knew the line was going to move. I took the Saints. It's mostly a fate of the Falcons. The Falcons are surprisingly bad. When I do my team previews, you start really digging into these teams. I spend usually a full day on each team and just really, I was like, oh my goodness, the Falcons might be historically bad. Like they're a really, really bad football team right now. And I trust the Saints defense. I think the Saints defense is going to be really good. Now, one factor here that's going to come into play, if you do like the Saints, I'd wait because I think Alvin Kamara is getting suspended. Maybe that's been baked into the line already, but I don't think that it would move in a positive direction for the Saints if Alvin Kamara is suspended for at least week one. So I think that's a factor I'm worried about with the Saints, but the Falcons are going to be one of those teams that I don't think people have realized how bad the Falcons are yet. I think that we think of the Texans are really bad and the Jaguars are really bad, and we know all those teams. I don't think people have really grasped the Falcons might be the worst team in football, and they really could be. It's not a team. This is one of the few home underdogs I just cannot get behind. I just cannot see myself punching any tickets on the Falcons unless this line just keeps going up and up and up and gets a touchdown or something. But I don't think that'll happen. I just can't back the Falcons here. I get it. I understand. I can't hate on your angle there with just taking a good divisional. This is a big time rivalry, underrated rivalry. I understand. And Mariota, like you said, should be healthy for this game, all that kind of stuff. Kamara might be out, but I just think that the Falcons right now, I don't think the market has caught up to the fact that the Falcons are really, really a bad football team.
And oh, do I love that you came in on the other side of this. And I actually feel better now that you said it's even grosser than I expect, because I'm probably not feeling how gross the Falcons are. And I don't mind being on the growth side of things come NFL week one, because maybe this becomes the surprise of how in the world did the Falcons win or cover against the Saints team that maybe makes the playoffs. And who knows, maybe this is the only victory or close game that the Falcons have. I saw that this week you had a preview on the Vikings, And one of the things that you mentioned is, are things going to be any different under this new head coach? So what I went ahead and did is I looked at, all right, what are the Super Bowl futures odds? And right now, Vikings are coming in at 50-1. So they would qualify as a, hey, I wouldn't mind holding a ticket at that price. Doesn't mean I'm going to with the Vikings, but I'm not sitting here with one of the favorites. So sort of some of the qualifiers I think about, one injury away. All right, if Aaron Rodgers were to get injured, all of a sudden the Vikings become a lot more attractive. Can they have a good quarterback to take them to the Super Bowl? I don't know if we passed that qualifier there. What are your thoughts on the Vikings? Because at times they can be seen as an upper echelon team, but year after year, anybody who bets them knows that they absolutely burn you. So why should anything be any different this year?
Yeah, I think that, I mean, getting back to week one real quick, one of my favorite bets on the board, another one I've punched already, is Vikings. I think the Vikings beat the Packers straight up in week one, just because I think new coaching staff, I think the Packers are going to be a little overrated, and I think that the Vikings can surprise them a little bit. They always play them tough at home. All the way going back to when I was a kid growing up in Wisconsin, you know, the Brett Favre years, they could beat anybody and go to the Metrodome and lose. It was like that all the time. The Vikings always play the Packers tough at home. I really like the Vikings week one, and I like them in general just because, look, a team with Dalvin Cook, Justin Jefferson, you got some really high-end guys. And Kirk Cousins, I get it. I get all the Kirk Cousins slander. I understand it. But would you really – like, if you just cover up the name and look at what he did last year, he's a really good quarterback. He played very well last year just for a bad team. It wasn't his fault that the defense was so terrible. I don't know how much better this defense is going to be, but it can't be much worse. And I think the Vikings – yes, and in a NFC that there's going to be some bad wildcard teams in the NFC. All the talents in the AFC now, I think that's very, very top heavy there. I think the Vikings can make the playoffs. And like you said, if you're to that point, you say, well, the Vikings are going to be a surprise team. Yeah, punch a ticket on them to win the NFC North, maybe win the NFC, because you're getting pretty good odds on them. I don't think anybody sees it coming, but maybe a shakeup is what they need to kind of just – there was some disconnect between old Mike Zimmer regime and those players. Maybe a new coach, new blood, new ideas. Maybe it can spark something and maybe they can kind of live up to what they should have been the past few years.
So you said no one sees it coming. So let's sort of dive a little bit deeper into that, because one of the formulas that I'm looking for is, it's very easy to see the shiny object, the Josh Allen, the Patrick Mahomes, the Justin Herberts of the world, and be like, boom, these are the teams that are going to be good. However, one of the formulas that used to be a recipe that worked well when Russell Wilson and the Seahawks went on their mini run with the Legion of Boom, what among other things allowed them to do that? It was a quarterback on a rookie deal who was exceeding the expectations, which allowed them to put better pieces around, more depth, and not pay all the money at quarterback. Huh, we look last year at what the Bengals do. Here is Joe Burrow on a rookie deal who makes the leap. So now one of the things that I'm looking for is quarterbacks that could make the leap, or teams where people perceive, oh, this quarterback is not good, they're not going to be able to do anything because they don't have Josh Allen. And that could be a team where no one sees this coming because we are blinded by all the other shiny objects. One team that stands out for sure is the Miami Dolphins here, currently sitting at 40-1 there, and the Patriots sitting at 50-1. If anything were to happen to Josh Allen, how would everybody be feeling about either one of those two teams?
Yeah, and I mean, Mac Jones was really good last year. For what he was coming out of the draft and what he was, he had an excellent rookie season. Better than I thought, I'll be honest with you. When I really looked back at it, watched some games, looked at the stats and all that, you're like, wow, Mac Jones was better than even I thought. Now, I think one factor with them is losing Josh McDaniels. Whatever I think about Josh McDaniels as a head coach, and I covered him in Denver, so it's not very positive, but he is an excellent, excellent offensive coordinator. One of the best we've ever seen, honestly. He took a rookie quarterback and made a really, really good offense from that. I don't even know who's calling plays right now. Is it Matt Patricia? Is it Joe Judge? That does worry me with the Patriots, but it's the Patriots. They're always going to be good. I don't think you're ever going to regret. If you take the Patriots at pretty good odds to win the AFC East, like you said, if Josh Allen goes down, You know the Patriots are going to be competitive. They always are. They're always a good team because Bill Belichick is the greatest head coach of all time. So I don't mind that at all. The Dolphins are just one of those. Look, I've been burned so many times. I need you to talk me into them because so many times the Dolphins do this where they had the flashy offseason and, oh, wow, they got this guy and that guy. They've done it again, and it's like, do I fall for this again? I don't know that I trust the Dolphins. I don't know that I trust Tua. I don't know that his skill set matches up very well with the guys they got, including Tyreek and Jalen Waddle, even Mike Gesicki. These are downfield guys. These are guys that should be stretching the field. And you're gonna, I get it. They can still do damage as yak guys, but I just don't know that Tua's skill set matches up with them. So I'm not buying in the Dolphins. I'm going to be low on them early. I'll be open-minded. I'm not going to lose my bankroll the first couple of months just fading the Dolphins when they're obviously good. But I don't know how good this team's really going to be. And they're one of those teams I'll be looking to fade early on just because I'm really not all in on them yet.
So I like what you said here, and I want to sort of put this together as a formula. Step one, we're open-minded. Hey, we've got a thought about something, but we're open to change. And number two, I'm going to be looking to fade them early. So as an action item, how about we all sit there and you say, all right, let's write down the teams that I'm looking to fade early. And then number two, teams that I might be higher on than others are. And just starting with this simple baseline can put you into a position to succeed for the rest of the season. And Frank, the last thing that I want to talk to you about, you'd mentioned about some flashy changes and looking at the MVP odds. And this is a market that is more fun than anything. There's two quarterbacks that stood out to me. And why quarterbacks? Because if we look at who won the MVP in the previous, Rodgers, Lamar, Mahomes, Brady, Matt Ryan, Cam, and Rodgers. So you're going to be choosing a quarterback here because that's what history says. And I'm looking for narrative as it relates to quarterback. So number one, Russell Wilson, plus 1,400. He has the narrative of, I'm in a new place. I'm in a tough division. Everybody loves him. Boom. Russell Wilson is very easy to buy into. This is the new leaf for Russell Wilson. And the number two for me would be Justin Herbert at 10-1. And why? Because he's the next up and coming star. Patrick Mahomes, we've already seen that. But Justin Herbert, everybody wants to crown him. So for me, those would be two that I would be eyeing right now. Is there anyone that comes top of mind for you that if you wanted to look at the MVP market that might have your eye?
No, and I mean, you make great points there. And I mean, to just piggyback off what you were saying, I believe in 1993, Emmitt Smith won MVP. Since then, every single MVP has either been a quarterback, a running back to rush for 2,000 yards, or a running back to set a single season touchdown record. That's it. So if you don't believe that a Derrick Henry or Jonathan Taylor could set a single season touchdown record or rush for 2,000, you can cut down your list of MVP candidates to 32 right now. Like you could dismiss every running back, receiver, defensive player. It doesn't matter. It's going to be a quarterback. And that's kind of why I like the MVP market, because I can just ignore John. Look, if Cooper Kupp wins MVP this year, I'd be happy about it. It'd be something different, but I won't bet on it because the history is not there. It's going to be a quarterback. And so absolutely, I wish I could disagree with you, but I'm in lockstep with you. The two guys I've really honed in on are Russell Wilson because of the narrative. The guys, I mean, it's been said a million times now. He's never even received an MVP vote in his career, which is crazy to me because he's a first ballot Hall of Famer to me, one of the elite quarterbacks. And now you have a different narrative with him. If he lifts the Denver Broncos to a playoff spot, plays really well, which I think he will with a good team around him, I think Wilson's going to get a lot of MVP buzz. And this might be the, hey, we need to really give this guy almost a lifetime achievement award, right? Like it's been too long in coming for us, but I have the Chargers to win the AFC West. And if they do, it means Justin Herbert probably throws for 5,000 yards again, uses all of his weapons, and he's got a ton of guys to throw to now. I don't know. I'm probably going to end up on both of those guys. I just kind of hedge my bets a little bit because I think one of those two teams is going to win the AFC West. And when they do, knocking off the Chiefs, it's going to be a big narrative. It's going to be a big story. Whoever wins the AFC West, the quarterback's going to have a big year. So that's going to be working in their favor. I will say this, and I know that this kind of became a popular bet, and it took me a while to get my head around it, but Jalen Hurts, way, way down the list. Look, I kind of touched on it before. You talked about quarterbacks on a rookie deal. Jalen Hurts right now, his salary cap number is $1.64 million. That's peanuts. That is a backup safety in free agency. they have built a great team around him. When I was doing the Eagles preview, right ahead on that, I was like, this roster is really, really, really good. If Jalen Hurts can just take advantage of A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith and Dallas Goedert, they have the great running game. He might be a guy, if the Philadelphia Eagles have that step forward, if they win 13 games somehow, he's a guy who will get a lot of buzz because I think he could have a pretty good all-around year, and he'd be kind of one of those, you know, he plays on the East Coast, big market, get a lot of attention. So if we're going further down the odds, Jalen Hurts, I know some value has been extracted there from earlier in the offseason, but if you're looking for a long shot, I think Jalen Hurts actually is live because I think Eagles could have a really, really big season and not many people see that coming.
Eagles 25-1 to win the Super Bowl. And right now, Jalen Hurts 18-1. And you're right, a lot of the value has gone down. Yeah. He has better odds than Kyler Murray, Derek Carr, Lamar Jackson.
I didn't realize he passed all those guys. Wow. I did not realize he passed all those guys. And, you know, you mentioned a name, Lamar Jackson. Like, why are we so bored with Lamar Jackson? Lamar Jackson was played great last year before he got hurt and the Ravens' wheels fell off. Lamar Jackson would MVP again. Why not? Like the Ravens could be a team that easily wins. I already have tickets on them winning the AFC North. I love them to bounce back this year. So why couldn't Lamar Jackson? You could. That's again, Rob, the great thing about the MVP, if you want to bet on it, you could condense that thing down. Yeah, I said 32 before, but we know Mitch Trubisky ain't winning it. You know, Drew Lock ain't winning it. So realistically, we can come up with a list of about 8 to 10 guys tops. You take a few of those, you're probably going to end up profiting if you hit the right one.
Matt Ryan ain't winning it. And right now, Lamar Jackson, right, 25-1. Ravens, 22-1 to win the Super Bowl. So this is something where you may want to, if you like to hedge your bets, create these correlated sort of bets. If you like the Ravens or if you like the Chargers or if you like the Broncos, well, we might as well take to win the division, to win the MVP, and maybe to win the Super Bowl, where if you're going to make a payday and be right, let's really be right.
If you gave me a prop bet right now that the AFC West champion quarterback is going to win MVP, I'd bet on it. I seriously would. I think that whoever wins the AFC West, their quarterback's going to have a monster year, and it's either going to be, no offense to Derek Carr, it's either going to be Mahomes, Wilson, or Herbert. One of those guys would be a great MVP pick for anybody if they win that division, because that division is going to be just unbelievably competitive. I love that division. I love talking about it. I love reading about it. I love watching it. I think whoever wins that division, their quarterback, easily going to be an MVP front runner.
And Patrick Mahomes doing more with less this year. Here comes the narrative. He doesn't need Tyreek Hill. He's so much better as an overall quarterback. And Frank, I love jamming about football with you. Where can everybody connect?
Best way is at Yahoo Schwab, obviously putting up the team previews there day after day. And then, Robbie, gets me so excited for football when I start writing those previews, man, because it's close. It's close. We, you know, like you said, we're past the NBA. We're past the hockey. What do we got? We got to look forward to football. And I can't. This NFL season is going to be awesome. And this has been the craziest offseason I've seen. It's great from a betting perspective because we could really dig in, do our homework. Just looking forward to it all. But yes, at Yahoo Schwab, hit me up there. I always love talking football.
And I want to hear from you. Yes, we are in July, but I want to know one team that you're going to fade, at least in week one, or you're looking to. And number two, who would be your MVP bet right now? You can hit me up on Instagram or Twitter at Rob Cressy. Also, make sure to tag at Covers. And remember, if you want to be a sharp, don't be a square with your bankroll. Be disciplined with your money.
The funkadelic devil hit you with the rap level of 10. The 1, 2, 3, your pen. I get action. So everybody jump with your rope. If you like the way the sound pumps, pump it in your back trunk. And let loose with the juice when I do rock. I'm too hot. Some say I got more juice than Tupac.